So the question was asked, what is the purpose of life? So we're assuming if we were granted this great gift of life, then there is a purpose, and I agree with that assumption. Let's begin in the beginning. So we were given a Torah, and Chaval Eitan walked out because this is going to address his angle too. We were given a Torah, which is the guidebook for life. And it's true that that guidebook is pivotal. Like I sent an SMS this morning to my soldiers who are out, and I said to them, you have to remember that the other soldiers are looking to you for spirit. They're looking to you for religious strength. They're looking to you for patriotism. You have to be the ones that keep the morale of your units. You can't falter now. Now's your job. You spent the time learning in yeshiva before you went to the army, so now everything you've learned has to be expressed. This is your hour. You have to stand up to your hour. So everyone knows that an army functions based on its morale. If you have strong morale, then a small army can sometimes overtake a bigger army. Morale plays a huge role. Now, you wouldn't say the morale is the purpose of the army, right? You wouldn't say the morale is the focus of the army. You would say it's something important in the army. So the Torah is not just our system. It's not just the guidebook. It's true what Eitan said earlier. To some degree, it's true that the Torah in and of itself is a goal. It's not only a means. Meaning learning Torah is a great mitzvah, and we can understand that it's a great mitzvah because it is the lifeline. It is the guidebook of life. And without that, you got nothing. But every person was created with different strengths and weaknesses. Within the 613 mitzvot, there are many mitzvot that pertain to us today, and then there are many mitzvot that do not. If you're not a Kohen, so then you don't have the Kohen's mitzvot, right? If you're not a carpenter, so then you can't build a beautiful Aron HaKodesh. If you don't have a beautiful voice, you can't be the Levite that sings up there, and these are all important mitzvot. So there are mitzvot of singing and building, and there are mitzvot of doing kindness to your fellow man, and there's the mitzvah of learning Torah. If you had to gauge them, so common wisdom would say, learning Torah is the greatest mitzvah. And that has backing. Even in the Codex, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, you don't stop learning Torah for any mitzvah that could be performed by someone else. Meaning we assume learning Torah is the greatest mitzvah, but, and here's the big but, not every person has the same strength. Not every person has the same mission. And education is a biggie. The Talmud tells us, they were asking, who should be the chief rabbi, Rebbe or Rabbi Chiya? And they said, well, Rabbi Chiya is in education and he's doing a great job. So he has to stay there, but he could be the chief rabbi. Yeah, but what he's doing is more important. So you see that sometimes teaching is more important than learning. And then you have the story about Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who said to Elio, I want to see who's going to be my partner in the Garden of Eden. So Elio took him and showed him a man and a... And he kept wondering, why is that person going to be my partner in the Garden of Eden? So he traveled out to that town, and he looked up the person, and then he said to him, tell me, what do you do? So he befriended the guy, and then he said to the guy, I want to know your history a little bit. Well, what type of person are you? Now you have to understand, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi went into the Garden of Eden alive. He's one of the greatest people that ever lived. So he's wondering, who's going to be my partner? He's a huge Talmud Chacham, a huge sage in the days of the Talmud, and he wants to know who his partner is. So the Medrash says he was shown this person. He goes out to visit this person. And when he gets to know the person, he tells him, I want you to tell me what extraordinary things have happened in your life. And the person says, well, there was a very interesting story that happened. There was once a group of pirates that came by, and they were selling people that they captured for slavery, and there was a girl there who said, I'm a Jew, please buy me. So I bought her. And I took her into my house, I adopted her, a little girl. We brought her up as though she was our own child. And when she came of age, so I said to my son, look here, son. This girl, we don't know who her family is. We don't know where she's from. We adopted her. Do the greatest act of kindness. Marry her. And believe me, I'll take good care of you. I'll make a beautiful wedding. I'll give her beautiful clothing. I'll give you a great dowry. I'll give you everything you need. We'll invite everyone in town. We'll make a beautiful wedding. And you'll marry this girl. So my son said to me, okay, Dad, if that's what you recommend, I'm listening. Fine. She grew up by us. I know her. She's a fine girl. Okay. So we set the wedding date and we invite everyone to the wedding. And the day comes, we invite the poor, we invite everyone in town, we make a very big feast, we want everyone happy. And the time is coming for them to go under the chuppah, under the canopy. And I see one man, a beggar, new to town, sitting on the sides, crying. So I go over to him and I say, brother, what's wrong? So he says, leave me to cry. And I say to him, no, tell me, what happened? Why are you upset? I want everyone to be happy today. It's a big day. So the guy says, well, I'll tell you the truth. The girl that's going to get married right now was legally betrothed to me a number of years ago. And then she was captured by pirates. And now I'm sitting here. I came to look her up. And today I showed up to town and I hear that she's marrying someone else. So he said to the beggar, give me a sign. If that's your wife, if you were betrothed to her, so prove it. So he starts telling him, you know, and back of her neck, just under her ear, her right ear, she has a little pimple over here. He starts giving him a few signs, and he goes and checks, and he sees the guy's right. So he goes over to the girl, and he says, you know, there's someone here who claims that you were betrothed to him a few years ago. Could that be? So the girl says, wow, I forgot. Yes, it's true. So the guy goes over to his son, and he says, son, look here. You took my advice when I told you to marry the girl. But you didn't get married here. And now we know that she was legally betrothed to someone else. So the right thing is, take my word for it. I'll pay you back. I'll get you a better dowry. I'll get you a nice girl. But here, this is the girl he was supposed to marry. Do me a favor. Let's both dance at their wedding. Let's give him all the clothing I bought you. Let's give them all the dowry we bought them. Let's make this wedding for them. And believe me, in heaven, we won't go shy of what we deserve. And my son said, Dad, if you recommended I married her, I accepted it. And you're recommending I should pull out. Okay, I'm going to respect that too. And we took the groom. We quickly showered him, got him a good haircut. We got him dressed in the nicest clothing. And we delayed the wedding a little bit as we got him all set up. And we married them off and made Sheva Brachos and danced with them. And then we took them into our house until they were settled financially and we sent them off. And they went happily to live. And that's the one exceptional story I have in my life. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi heard that. He said, okay, I can handle that. And he left. So when I read that story, it blew me away. Because here we have the codex, the Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, that says, the biggest mitzvah is learning Torah. So here the Talmud tells us, one of the greatest sages did his learning Torah, and yet when he wanted to know who's my neighbor in the world to come, he sees someone who did not learn a tremendous amount of Torah, but someone who did other mitzvot to a tremendous level.
How's it showing like the purpose of life? Like
some saying, some saying we have 613 mitzvot.
So it's fulfilling the Torah.
It's fulfilling the Torah. So but each person is going to find his strengths match a specific angle. We all keep 613, but within those 613, there are different stresses depending on the situation you're in.
So basically what you're saying, it's not learning.
Well, the learning is key. It's still a big mitzvah.
It can be a person's purpose for life, but it's not.
Right.
But what you're saying is kind of what I thought Eitan was saying, was that the purpose of life is the Torah. Not necessarily one part of it, but in general, is the purpose of life is the Torah. So as you were saying, you can choose where in it you fit, but overall, everyone has a place in the Torah, and that's their purpose in life.
So that's, again, a slight simplification. We would add a few points. Number one, even though you have a range of things, maybe you're the one who's supposed to discover the cure for cancer. Maybe that's your mission in this world. Maybe you're the one that's supposed to be the top politician that finally gains Israel proper status and does everything that's right on our behalf. I don't know what your goal is. But even so, there are areas, and everyone has to know, there are going to be moments which those were his purpose. That's why he came to the world. There are moments in life. There's the big picture, and then there's the little picture. There's the macro and the micro. There are the accomplishments of life, and there are the accomplishments of moments. And we have to know that there are going to be those moments, and we have to live up to those moments. Now, we were given an excellent guidebook. the Torah. But we also have to know that every Jew has a part of Torah that only he can discover. No one can absolve himself and say, well, my job is to head the Red Cross. My job is to head Magen David Adom. I'm going to be head of the JDL. I'm going to fight to protect Jews. Okay, but you still have to learn Torah. Not only learn Torah, but grow in Torah. And realize that there are parts of Torah that no one can uncover but you. We have a tradition that the Torah was given with a limitless amount of secrets inside, that every person has parts of Torah that only he can uncover. So that aside from all the other mitzvot, there's also that aspect that's yours, that's waiting for you.
I'm still not sure which side you're saying. If the purpose of life is Torah, or it's something else, like discovering cancer, like...
Also, I'm saying within Torah you have many mitzvot. You have the mitzvah of kindness, which can encompass finding the cure for cancer.
You're saying it's finding cancer, but that's included in Torah.
Correct. Okay, the Torah is encompassing of what's good and correct in life.
Okay. You're saying something like cancer, but then you're saying, well, cancer is part of Torah. So basically what you're saying is the purpose of life is to follow the Torah.
If you want to call it that, but it's within the 613 mitzvot, correct. But within the 613 mitzvot can encompass everything.
Yeah, so, okay.
Everything that's right.
So you're saying to follow the Torah, and then you're adding that following the Torah will virtually get you everything good. Any good goal will be included in this.
But you're going to have to discover your own path.
But you're saying two separate things. So I'm wanting to understand if what you're saying is that the purpose of life is to follow the Torah. And then you're commenting on this answer and saying that if you do that, you can find... And any valuable goal will be included in that, such as discovering the cure for cancer will be included in the Torah because you have to do kindness.
Yeah, but he's also
saying, no, I didn't say that. I said
so
each person has their missions, not only
Torah
one. I'm saying they're encompassed by Torah.
Okay, so you're saying it's Torah.
I don't know why you want to view it that way. Let's say, if I ask you that, your mission involves breathing every morning.
It seems like you're upset that I'm coming to this conclusion. What's wrong with saying that it's with Torah? If that's what you believe, what's wrong with saying that?
There's nothing wrong with saying that. I envision the way you're saying it as my purpose is 613 mitzvot. And I'm saying your purpose might be something very, very specific which falls under that category.
And you're also responsible to the bigger picture.
It's
not just the things that are written down that are encompassed under the Torah. I get it.
Fine. Okay.
You're right.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to know what your opinion was, and I didn't want to hear two different things and not be sure what you were saying.
But I'm just saying there's going to be the macro and micro. There's going to be the big accomplishments you have to accomplish in this world.
Under and Torah.
If you want to call it that, living
macro,
a correct
thing,
life under in the Torah.
Purpose,
yeah.
But in the general thing, the purpose of life, like... To say it in a nutshell, as I say, it would be the purpose of life is to follow the Torah. Now, you want to break it down, you can say, well, there's micro.
See, I wouldn't call it the purpose, I would call it the system.
No, but you said it's more than a system. You said it's
right.
More than that, but more than a system. It's what you're doing, the purpose. That's what you're saying.
No, I didn't say it's the purpose. I said it is an ends on its own. When you learn Torah, you're not only gaining a means, it's also an ends. But for you, you're... accomplishment in life might be using the Torah as the means. For someone who's going to learn Torah...
Goal. So what is the goal?
You see, when you say Torah, I envisage you mean learning Torah.
No.
You mean living the lifestyle of Torah.
Anything under the category of Torah is what I mean by Torah. And you can define that yourself. I just wanted to... Like, I'm not taking my own definition. I'm talking about your opinion.
Okay, so if by Torah you mean a Jewish lifestyle... And within that Jewish lifestyle, certain accomplishments. So fine, if that's what you're going to call Torah. I mean Orthodox Jewish lifestyle. Fine.
Following the Torah.
Following the Torah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So the purpose of life is to follow the Torah, and there's many different ways to do that.
Again, I don't know, because when you say following the Torah, you're saying the purpose of life is all 613. You could say that, but there might be a specific purpose for you which falls under that.
No, you say an aspect of the Torah.
No, I'm saying...
No, I don't mean... I mean, the goal is the Torah, and now, like you're saying, there's a million different aspects. You can choose any one you want. Part of the Torah or not. I want to know what you think is part of the Torah. You're saying, yes, the purpose of life is the Torah. Now, I'm not saying there's only 613 options. I'm saying
I wouldn't define all that as Torah. I would define that as a Jewish life. But okay, if you want to call that Torah, fine. So I'm not calling it Torah. To me, I wouldn't call it Torah. Fine, I'm not sure if there's a difference between us if it's only semantics, but fine. Okay.